Now, the theme of this lecture is Jesus' statement, and it's something that you should rivet in your mind. If you etch this concept in your mind, it will become a magnet for you to become what Jesus became. He said, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do." Jesus said this at the very end, in the days before he was going to be crucified. The prince of this world is the ego, and the personification of the ego is Lucifer, the greatest personification of it. Now, when Jesus said that the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, he was indicating that he had totally transmuted his ego and his entire electronic belt patterns. Now, we're talking about the diagram of the clock, and I want to say specifically that the electronic belt is located about from the navel down, several feet beneath your feet, in the shape of a giant kettle drum. And it's like a heavy block of cement, but a cement that is stratified by the layers of human consciousness. The layers of human consciousness we have diagrammed for you in the 6.04 decree. When you finally clean out this subconscious realm with the violet flame, then you are ready to pass the test and the initiation of the crucifixion victoriously and to ascend physically. You'll notice in Serapis Bey's Pearl of Wisdom of recent date that he said that you have to have balanced 95% of your karma in order to ascend physically. Otherwise, you're going to lay your body down. It will appear to people that it has died, but of course, it's simply the laying down of the shell. Now, Jesus said, "The prince of this world hath nothing in me," because he had balanced totally 100% of his karma and had done so before. But he was making that statement because he had gone through the test in the wilderness, the temptations, the three temptations, or the temptations of the threefold flame. So Jesus spent his three-year mission proving the triumph over all things in the microcosm as well as the macrocosm, to give the example that we should follow, we who have not fully balanced our karma. So you will make the statement, "The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me," as you transmute your karma. You can affirm the statement even before you get to the 100% mark, because you can affirm that what is in you is under the dominion of the Christ. And that's the important point, that even if you have not fully balanced your karma, you can have the sealing action of the Christ consciousness. I'm giving you a lecture that is given at the temple at Luxor. And it's a lecture that you will receive as candidates for the Ascension Temple. It is important that you leave here with a concept that your goal in preparation for passing the test of the crucifixion, the laying down of the human ego, must be fulfilled, and that that goal can only be fulfilled cyclically. Jesus said, "Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." And by that statement, he meant that each day we receive an increment of our own karma. It's like the rising of the water in the swamps. Up from our electronic belt comes a certain quotient of untransmuted energy. It is there when we wake up in the morning. It feels like lethargy and weight, actually lactic acid in the muscles that you feel you just can't get up in the morning. You wake up, the karma is there, it is your package for the day. Sufficient unto the day is the evil or the energy veil thereof. Now, the energy veil that is given to us has to be transmuted if we are to move forward. You can do it first thing in the morning, or you can walk around with this substance on you all day and be in a fog. Now, the way you do this is you calculate, according to the chart, that is based on the 604 decree. Where the sun is for the planet, where it is for your life, and where the moon is. Now, to assist you, we have duplicated the sun signs and the moon signs for the remainder of this year. The exact hours that the moon goes into different signs and then the sun goes into different signs. Briefly, to explain this, what it means is that where we are, Mountain Standard Time, and then with the Daylight Saving Time correction, as we look into the heavens at the sun is now in the configuration of Taurus. Taurus, let us say, is a configuration of stars, not necessarily near one another, but they appear to be near as we look at them from the Earth. We say that the sun is in Taurus when the sun in the heavens is fixed in that constellation. The same with the moon. When the moon is passing through the constellations of the 12 hierarchies as they have been outlined in the heavens, we say that the moon is in thus and such a sign. The moon is now in the constellation of Sagittarius. Now, these constellations are much farther away from us than the sun and the moon. So what the sun and the moon do is to amplify the energies of those starry bodies, but not really of the starry bodies themselves, which are but the physical manifestations of the solar hierarchies. Thus, the sun and the moon amplify the God consciousness that is in the starry bodies, such as in Capricorn, the God consciousness would be God power and all of the attributes of God power. We speak of 144,000 virtues, which is just the beginning, 12,000 virtues on each line. This means that out of God power, you can enumerate 12,000 facets of God power that you can become aware of as you evolve and keep on transcending yourself in the universe. But for purposes of the finite realm and writing down a chart, we conclude one quality or one virtue on that line. I'm sure even now that you are aware of many more. Now the sun, as the seat of Helios and Vesta, our own sun, is a very pure and high focus. So when the sun is in a constellation, the sun amplifies the God consciousness of it. When that God consciousness is amplified by the sun and the sun's rays filtered to the earth, they have to come through the density of the atmosphere of mankind's own consciousness. So even before these qualities are hitting the physical awareness or the minds of the people, they are already being distorted by the layers of effluvia that mankind have imposed upon the planet Earth. And so we also know the rays of the sun are filtered to us. Some of this filtering is necessary because we would be consumed if we had the direct intensity of the sun, because we're not yet perfect. And only in perfection can we stand in the sun. So worldly astrology has grown and become popularized around people who have studied the psychic or astral amplification of the perversion of the original God qualities. Now, we have gone over these and we've put them on the clock. If you're not too sure of them, you can read the 604 decree again. You can see that Capricorn's perversions are criticism, condemnation, judgment, and witchcraft. Or black magic, is it? Black magic on the 12 o'clock line, witchcraft on the 1. I'm looking to one of my students to give me the information.
Witchcraft on 12.
All right, witchcraft on the 12 and black magic on the 1. They're very similar. But the point is that the perversion of the godly virtues occurs as the pure light of the hierarchies approaches the consciousness of man. So now you see how the whole perversion of astrology came forth. Now the sun then gives us a very powerful focus on the light, and many people benefit from its pure radiation of the God consciousness of the hierarchies. The moon is a different story. We say that the moon sign gives man his outer personality, where the moon is at his birth. It would be a good idea, if you know the hour of your birth, to determine where the moon was at that time. There are astrology books and ephemerises that go back in years that can tell you where the moon was. Because this will tell you what the challenge of your entire life is. Where the sun is when you embody is the means whereby you are intended to attain the consciousness of God. In other words, through that virtue, if you were born when the sun was in Aquarius, it is your mission in this life to amplify the power of God love to the planet unto the victory of the Aquarian age. It is also your mission to transmute all that opposes that love in the form of hatred, mild dislike, hardness of heart, and the black magic. You would not have been born under that hierarchy if it had not been your time to go through that initiation under that solar hierarchy. Now, above all, you should not miss that one test. That is the key test of your entire life. And that is the star that your crown requires. And you must let no man take your crown. So come what may, you brook no interference to the amplification of the God quality of your sun sign. Now you can determine where the moon was. This means at the hour of your birth, when the moon was in the heavens, what was the constellation in which it was seen or focused? Let us say that your moon sign was in Sagittarius. This is the last line of the clock. It shows that your outer personality, if you go to the lower level of the electronic belt, will be dominated by resentment, revenge, retaliation. But if you rise to the level of the Christ consciousness, your outer personality will be dominated by the flame of victory through illumination. So it is the test of the victory of the entire clock. Now, there are many attributes that we apply to these sun signs, and some of them come from the world's astrology, and some of them are correct. For instance, the 11 o'clock line of Sagittarius is a fire sign. Its symbol is the archer. People under that sign are known to be athletic. Fiery people that get things done, organizers, and that is because the fire of Sagittarius is in the physical quadrant of the clock. So the physical quadrant gives people the affinity with the physical and also with the Holy Spirit. They like sports, they like nature. So these various aspects and attributes you can read about and you can discern which of them are real and which of them are not real. Now let us go to the figuring of where you are today in your chart. When you make a circle on your piece of paper, you put your birth date with the year on the 12 o'clock line. Would anyone like to be the guinea pig for this? All right, what is your birth date?
December 30th, 1920.
All right, December 30th, 1920, you would put on the 12 o'clock line. Now, some of you have come to classes in the past. I have explained the clock. You have decided it's too complicated, and you have gone home without a working knowledge of it. This class, I'm determined that everyone is going to go home with a chart made. And I want you to accost any staff member to help you do this. I don't want anyone to go home without a sheet of paper with a drawing of their clock on it. It shows them where they are right now at this year and this month, because you will not apply the teachings given here if you don't have this knowledge. Now, what we will do for Francis is to place December 30th, 1921 on the 1 o'clock line, and we would go around the entire chart. We are figuring what each year will bring for the soul in terms of initiations. At zero, at 1 day old, the soul is on the 12 o'clock line, the line of initiation. This is the beginning of the cycle of life. On the first birthday, which would be 1921, the soul would be on the 1 o'clock line. Now, while I'm speaking, you should be putting your own dates. In other words, we're going to move forward 1 year on each line. 1922, she'll put on the 2 o'clock line. 23 on the 3. 24 on the 3 o'clock line. 25 on the 4. 26 on the 5 o'clock line, and so forth. 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32. So in 1932, at age 12, she returned to the 12 o'clock line. If you add 12 more years to that, going around one more 12 cycle, you get 1944. Put 44 in there again. Another 12 years is 1956. Another 12 would be 68. Then you put 69 on the 1 o'clock line. Keep going, 70, 71, 72, and 73. This means, since it's still, her birthday was December 30th, 1972, on the 4 o'clock line. So that means, starting with December 30th, 1972, Frances Cook would be facing the tests of the hierarchy of Taurus for the entire year. She will not go into her 73 cycle until December 30th. That just happens to be because it's the last day in the year. Now, you have to see that the entire 12-month cycle is then governed by that hierarchy. This is your specific clock in the microcosm. Now, has everyone followed me so far? Putting your birth date, the year of your birth, on the 12 o'clock line and advancing 1 year for each successive line. Now, this actually can be drawn in a spiral that you start from the center of the clock, and that way you can see the progression of cycles as a spiral.
This is how you would draw it. And so on. Now that cycle is actually infinity. Now you would start your birth date at the center of the circle then, at the beginning of the spiral. And then you would start going around in the center on the first circle on the 12 lines of the clock, and by the time you get to the present, you're on the outer periphery. And for some of the people that are older, this is how you can get all the years on your clock. Now when you start this clock, it's a good idea to take out a little book and write down events in your life that you remember that occurred in those years. You may not remember a lot. You may remember 10 key dates in your whole life, things that happened. But if you happen to know at least the year that they occurred in, you will put them into perspective of what the tests were that were involved in those dates. What happened in your third year? What happened in your 20th year? What did you do? Who did you meet? What kind of karma were you balancing? When did you come into the teachings? If you'll plot this on your own cycle, then you must determine where you feel you fail tests and where you feel you pass them. Did you have an opportunity to serve the light in your 15th year? Did you turn your back on the light and come back to it in your 23rd year? Things like that. Now, whatever the year is that these events occurred, you can determine under what hierarchy you were supposed to be serving. Let us say that either in your third year or in your 15th year, which would place you on the 3 o'clock line, you had some problem with God control. Let's say at age 15, the typical teenage age when we think we're very important and we know everything. Well, that's age 15, the 3 o'clock line, and that's when the ego and the karma of the ego will come into its ascendancy. Did you manifest God control then, or did you do things that were not in keeping with the laws of God that fulfill the human ego? If you did, now that you know that it happened, you go back to the 6.04 decree and you make your invocations as the decree is written for the transmutation of the substance that was misqualified in that year on that line. Now, age 16 is also a very rebellious age. It's a time when we think we should be free of our parents and do anything we want to do. That is because age 16, you see, ages always fall in the same line no matter what year you're born. Everybody at age 16 is on the 4 o'clock line. The only thing different is what year you came to that line. So age 16, you face the hierarchies of Taurus, and you are either obedient to your father and mother, or you are completely rebellious, or somewhere in between. This is the age when kids start taking drugs, marijuana, staying out late at night,
They're experimenting with sex. This is the line of the love plume. There's a perversion of divine love on that line. All the problems of teenagers seem to crop up on age 15, 16, 17 on the 5. These are the problems of the mental quadrant, where we start through the mind, the rationalizations of the mind, to turn over all of the culture and the tradition that we have been taught to believe by our parents. Some of it, of course, is good to leave behind, but not all of it. A good part of it is good, sound advice, and definitely the code established by the masters. So when we come on the path, if we have gone through the years of our lives on the electronic belt side, which means out picturing the substance below the navel instead of out picturing the light of the causal body, then before we can really enter into world service, we've got to go back and clean that up. Now let me take the 604 decree to give you an example of how you would specifically. Suppose you realize that the turning point in your life, let's say, was age 12. You came back to that Capricorn cycle. It should have been the initiation of a whole new golden age for you at the beginning of your clock, age 12, a great year. Something happened. Your parents got divorced. You moved. You changed schools. You had problems. So you say, how am I going to transmute this thing? You realize that no matter how it manifested, it was a perversion of God power. So you look at the 12 o'clock line on the 6.04 decree. Number A, it says, the beloved great divine director and the seven archangels. Now you can make up your own invocation for the beginning. After the preamble, you can always insert specifics. So this is what you would say. In the name of the beloved, mighty, victorious presence of God, I am in me, holy Christ, cells of all mankind, all great powers and legions of light, beloved great divine director and the seven beloved archangels, the entire spirit of the great Brother in the world, Mother, I decree, seize, bind, and lock, seize, bind, and lock, seize, bind, and lock. The insert then about your 12th year should be put after seize, bind, and lock, because everything that has gone before is still preamble. So it's at the place, you can draw a box around this if it's your own decree book. At the place following seize, bind, and lock in the middle of the page, this is where you substitute your insert. I call for the transmutation of all energies misqualified in my 12th year on the 12 o'clock line. And then you can be specific and name what you feel was done that was not according to the light. If it's on a world scale, you take world inserts. If you're on a specific line, you put it there. So I'll do it again to clarify. In the name of the Lord, mighty, victorious presence of God, I am me, holy Christ, cells of all mankind, all great powers and legions of light, beloved great divine director and the seven archangels, the entire spirit of the great brother in the world, Mother, I decree, seize, bind, and lock, seize, bind, and lock, seize, bind, and lock, all substance misqualified by me in my 12th year, all perversions of God power, all misuse of the energies of the hierarchy of Capricorn and of the great divine director. Then it says under number 12, all criticism, condemnation, and judgment, all witchcraft, and all that is not of the light, into mighty Astraeus, cosmic circle, and sword will flame of 1,000 suns, and all that opposes or attempts to interfere with the fulfillment of my God power and my divine plan fulfilled in my 12th year, or you can say in 1972. Because what you are doing is making the light retroactive. Saint Germain told me we can change history. We do not have to leave the record of history as it is. Either in our personal lives or on a planetary scale, we can use the violet flame to go back and transmute what has transpired that is not of the light. And when it's transmuted and we invoke the divine pattern, we have actually changed our history. We have transmuted it. As far as God is concerned, if we do not do that mistake again, it is permanently erased. It is erased from the book of life, and the true divine plan is written in its place. Isn't that a fantastic thing? That you can go back and erase the mistakes of your life with a violet flame. Balance that karma through invocation and through service if necessary, and rebuild. It's like taking apart the pyramid that you started to build, where you had a block at the base that wasn't quite placed right. You can take it out and put it back in and put it in properly. Now, if you're working on a specific year, then you would only take that one line as I have just given it to you, or a specific problem or a specific condition in your consciousness. Now, within each year, there is another entire wheel. This is not complicated if you will listen carefully. Let's take my present year right now. My birthday is on April the 8th. On April the 8th, I start the cycle of a new 12 months. Just like the planet Earth starts its new cycle on January 1, on New Year's, you start your year on your birthday because you yourself are a planet. You are a planetary body. All within yourself. So you are a starry body, and you relate to the heavens, to the sun, to the moon, to the signs, according to the moment when the Mahachohan breathed into your nostrils the breath of life and connected the crystal cord with the God presence and ignited the threefold flame within your heart. All that takes place at the moment of birth. So that is when your planet is born in the plane of Mater for this incarnation. So that is your new year. So I would put my April 8th on the 12 o'clock line, May 8th on the 1 o'clock line. Now, we don't have to write the year because we're not talking about a year now. We're talking about the months within the year. Every year is the same as far as the months go. I always have to face the tests of the hierarchies of Aquarius on May 8th on the 1 o'clock line. On the 2 o'clock line, I'm facing June 8th, which would be my Pisces. Although the world is in Gemini, my starry body is in Pisces because that is the second house. So to figure this, all you have to do is look at the circle the way we have drawn it with the hierarchies intact on the lines. Now, this can be a separate circle from the chart you just made of your year. You can turn your paper over and just do a chart of your months because this is an invariable. Put your birth date, the month, and the day on the 12 o'clock line. And just go around following the months. As I said, mine is April 8th on the 12th, May 8th on the 1, June 8th on the 2, July 8th on the 3, August 8th the 4th. Can I do someone in the audience? What is your question? Put the 30th down. Best to anticipate it a day before than a day later, because the changing in the force field anyway takes place within the 24 hours before. The accuracy of this chart is incredible. How many of you here have plotted this chart enough to know that your tests follow it? The only way you can meet your tests is to know where you are. Now let's take, for example, on the day of your birthday, you are initiating a whole new cycle under a new hierarchy. This is the 12 months I gave you just this hour, at this moment. I gave you the 12 months within the year, and the year you already have plotted. So let's say we all know that when we are 18 years old, we're going to be on the 6 o'clock line. The 6 o'clock line is the line of the Divine Mother. Now let's say you're on your 18th birthday, your 18th year. It could be 12 years later, it would be the same test. It could be 30. Age 30 is also on the 6 o'clock line. Now what will you have to think about within that year? First of all, you should take note of what quadrant you are in. Are you facing the tests of your etheric body, your mental, your emotional, your physical? Then you should take note of what kind of a sign you are under. Is it a water sign? Cancer, Pisces, Scorpio are the water signs. Aquarius, Gemini, Libra are the air signs. Capricorn, Taurus, Virgo are the earth signs, and the fire are Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius. Your birth year, the sign that you're under for an entire year, will be the predominant factor. The monthly signs will always be within the yearly sign. So let us say then you're 30 or you're 18, you're in your 6 o'clock line. The first thing to know is that this is the year that you will have a great opportunity to outpicture the flame of the Divine Mother and your devotion to her. You will realize that you have to do this through the mastery of your emotional body. And you will have to do it through the mastery of the water element.